This is Kenny and Heilprin on the Wisconsin Sports Zone Network.
It is Kenny and Heilprin on a Tuesday. Happy Thanksgiving week, everybody. I'm Ben Kenny. That is Mr. Zach Heilprin. What up, Zach?
How you doing, Ben?
I'm excited for Saturday and Friday. I must say that while it is a short week, it's a true look-ahead spot for us radio people, where normally when you have 5 days during the week, you're locked into a Tuesday being a Tuesday. Here, like Michigan and Ohio State last weekend, I'm kind of looking. It's a look-ahead spot to the weekend and to Thanksgiving.
Saturday.
Yeah. How about you?
Friday, like, this used to be my favorite week because when you lived in town, this, you know, I'm way too old now, but like back, you know, 15 years ago, 10 years ago, everyone would come home. You'd all come home and you'd be that Wednesday would be like the night you go out. So the KK would be the place to go back in the day. Now, this is again, like 15 years ago.
Yeah.
So like when you're from town, that's where you would go. And you'd see people from high school. It'd be a great time and all that good stuff. Then you have Thanksgiving on Thursday. And then Friday, everyone gets together again and it's football all day long. And Saturday the same way. This used to be my favorite week. One of my favorite weeks. This and obviously the first weekend of March Madness.
Zach slumming it at the KK. That's a visual.
15 years ago? Hell yeah.
I guess this was always the week I would go home.
Right.
Not originally from here, so I would always go and leave for the weekend, which I guess means I've never been presently in Madison for the Minnesota game, just how things have shaken out. But that
Are
is coming
going
up.
To be this week?
No.
Okay. So it's not
coming
like
back on Sunday.
It's not like anything's changing.
No, not really. It was an interesting weekend, Zach. Wisconsin retained the very historic Freedom Trophy, has kept possession of it as they always have throughout the history of said trophy.
Someone tweeted at me, it's not historic. Oh, yeah? You think? You think it's not historic? Could you not? You know what's historic? Your lack of ability to, historically bad, I should say. Your lack of ability to re-sarcasm.
Oh,
it was clearly,
Zach.
Clearly sarcasm.
All right, I'll be the guy then.
It's not historic, Ben. I shouldn't say it. I forgot. You're the guy that thinks the Big Ten West and East is historic.
I'm into it. I'm into trophies. Did Wisconsin pick up?
I didn't say I don't like the trophy.
Did you notice Wisconsin picking up the trophy after the game?
So luckily I had I did not go. So luckily I had somebody on site be able to check that out for me. Our guy RJ was there, and he said that they went and shook hands, everything, and then they came back over and got the trophy. So it wasn't like it was completely ignored, but it wasn't also like Heartland Trophy or Axe where you're not shaking hands, you're going to get the thing and starting to party.
Yeah, it was like a leisurely...
Like we saw against Iowa. Like Iowa went streaming to where the Heartland Trophy was, picked it up, and yeah, there were some handshakes here and there, but that's not what that was about.
Yeah, it was like a leisurely stroll.
While playing jump around, just for anybody that's wondering if that's associated with Wisconsin or not.
We'll touch on that, especially when we get into the Minnesota game. So no show on Thursday, by the way, obviously with it being Thanksgiving. Still go to Monk's for football this weekend. We'll do a Minnesota preview podcast probably tomorrow, but definitely before the game. I want to get into that whole situation. And before we continue with the Nebraska thing, I also have to mention, like, the work done by journalists in this sport and this ecosystem of college sports needs to be applauded. Specifically, Mr. Jim Polzin, before the game, and not many are going to shout him out for this. I'm going to do it. Nebraska has this whole sellout streak for years and years and years. I don't know what the number is because, frankly, I don't really care about it. But given
389 games,
thank you. I don't know how many years that is, but the math
60s,
many. Given that the team stinks, obviously harder to get people out to the games. Given that the weather isn't great, harder to get people out to the late season games. And they've just been completely scamming this sellout streak by selling all these tickets in bulk. Maybe paying people to buy these tickets and just to say that they sold out the stadium. I retweeted it. It's up on Jim's Twitter. I urge everyone to find it. The picture of the stadium, that's not a sold-out stadium, Zach.
No. And RJ sent some pics as well.
Oh.
That's been that way for a while now.
So
it's not like an every game thing. but it's getting pretty darn close with how bad they've been. Do you know that that senior class that just exited, even like the fifth-year seniors, never went to a bowl game?
Wow.
They're the only school. Before they were going to be the only school in that five-year period not to go to a bowl game because Kansas is going to a bowl game this year.
Our Jayhawks. Lance Leipold for 2 days.
Yes.
Future Wisconsin head coach for a second there. And then,
yes.
I guess not, because it's likely going to be Jim Leonard. So, yeah, I needed to shout that out. You have FTX and, you know, people scamming millions and millions of dollars from people. Then right below that, Nebraska sellout streak is the biggest scams in this country.
1-2.
Yep. So that is my official statement on the matter. We're going to get into the game. Obviously, we're live here until 7 o'clock. But after the game, that's when the more important and more long-term stuff happened for the Wisconsin football program. 8 p.m. Saturday night, they officially post the head coach job. That now opens a 7-day window legally. So the timing for me, it's like likely Sunday morning, Sunday afternoon after Minnesota. They officially named the head coach. I don't think this would be something that they would throw out at 8 o'clock on a Saturday because they need to do the press conference and, you know, make it a whole thing, positive press. Jeff Patrikas has reported that it will be Jim Leonard, as we all expected, when they do name the head coach. So it's almost done. We're almost through the whole situation. There are little other angles to this, but any surprise that this is when they did it?
A win over 3-7 Nebraska, or 3-8 Nebraska. Or 3-7 Nebraska is what got it done for him.
Big Ten win.
Is that what it needed? I understand that they think it would have happened the week before if they'd beaten Iowa. As if somehow bowl eligibility. Like, what if they had come up short on bowl eligibility? Or what if they had gone 5-7 and been one of the 5-7 teams that gets selected to a bowl game?
Even better.
I don't know. The timing is what it is. I know that there have been some other names that certainly have been rumored out there and thrown out there. And I'm sure Chris McIntosh did all his due diligence and is now ready to settle in on Jim. And I think Jim also ready to settle in on Wisconsin. Remember we talked with Bill Nagy a little bit at a show when this whole thing happened. And it was kind of like, does Jim want the job? Like, does he definitely want it? And does he, you know, want to jump in and be that guy? And obviously, the answer eventually was yes. I don't know if it was a home run necessarily right away, but what he's been able to find out about where things are going, and obviously people loved what he was able to do, it all worked out. But timing-wise, I don't really get it. I mean, I post it, whatever. And here's the thing. It's not like they have to announce it on Saturday or Sunday or Monday or Tuesday or any other time anytime soon. They have to – there's a minimum time limit before they can announce it. Not a maximum. They can do whatever they want, but I wouldn't be shocked for a press conference on Monday, next Monday.
Yeah, and you'd figure they would.
Or they do it after the game on Saturday, announce it on the field. If they win, yeah. This is going way back. Barry Alvarez's final game as coach, or final home game as coach, was against Iowa, and they lost the game. And they had this whole celebration afterwards, and it's just like, eh. It's real tough. It's kind of like doing things on senior day, like basketball. If you like, you lose a game to lose the Big Ten title, and you have to do senior day festivities afterwards. It's not fun. So probably not that. But I would assume it's going to be quite soon.
Yeah, the timeline stuff is interesting to me, and this is not to make a point or to angle in any direction. Because I mean, it's still, I believe the sooner Leonard is named, the better. Then you can move forward and focus on the roster and focus on the recruiting stuff and everything that goes along when it comes to all that. But if Wisconsin had lost to Nebraska, like they're down 14-3 entering the fourth quarter. And I didn't think they would come back and win. It was an impressive win. We'll get to it. But if they had lost on Saturday, like, is the job posted that night? Going forward, Minnesota, like, let's look at these last 3 weeks. You have the Iowa game, which Wisconsin had won 2 in a row going into it. If they had won that Iowa game, they, in theory, would have been alive and maybe even been in the driver's seat in the West. They go into it. The defense plays great. The offense is completely anemic, and they lose the game. You go into Nebraska, and for 3 quarters, it was following a kind of a similar path where the defense played well, but a turnover, a short field, a couple other things offense overall can't do anything. Like, let's say Nebraska had won in that same fashion. Then you go ahead to Minnesota, and that's a good defense they're going to play on Saturday. And you could see, in theory, a similar script playing out, given what we've seen from the team overall this season. Like, what if a couple things had gone the other direction? Are we sitting here and saying they actually won't hire Jim Leonard as head coach?
Again,
it's kind of a rhetorical, like, no one knows. Chris McIntosh knows the answer. No one's going to talk about the answer, or I hope they do. But I just wonder, like, given how miraculous, don't want to use that word, but how
improbable,
unexpected the fourth quarter comeback was. Like, is the job post on Saturday? And are we even talking about Jim Leonard as the future head coach if that goes differently?
I don't want to be this guy, because now it looks like because I didn't say this in the moment. But I felt, because they were going to have the wind in the fourth quarter, like, no one had moved the ball going left. Everyone had moved the ball going right. That's where all the touchdowns were scored on the day. We saw the field goal from Nate Bensel going into the wind. It was not going to happen. And Graham said, when he threw that ball to Isaac Garendo, he thought he overthrew him, because he thought he underthrew him, and then the wind took it and took off. I always thought, like, so I'm going to, I was sitting there and thinking, if they're going to have a chance, it's going to be the fourth quarter. It's not going to be the third quarter. It's going to be the fourth quarter where they have a chance, and that's kind of where it happened. Because we, you know, either way, I didn't think it was totally, totally improbable, because it was Nebraska. And we've seen Nebraska blow late leads in games quite a bit in the last few years. I don't know if you've recognized that or noted that at any point in the last couple of years. But
I remember, I think.
Yeah, so Nebraska game notwithstanding, you have been on this idea that who cares what the record is, it shouldn't matter. And I agree, because it wasn't the defense that was struggling.
Right.
And it wasn't the special teams. Like, and we kind of talked about that last week. Jim has to own the special teams. He's part of that. But it's the offense is struggling. And so I can't put the onus on a guy that did not make those hires and say, God, that's your fault. And that's your fault. And say he can't have the job because his offense isn't doing anything. No. We get to judge his next hire. If the offense continues to suck next year and the year after, that's Jim Leonard. That's on him, and he has to own it. Just like Paul Chryst would have to own it if, he say, his defense wasn't any good, right? Like, you have to own that. So, do I think we're sitting here? Yes, I do, because I think it was going to be a situation where it was going to be kind of towards the end of the season. It was going to happen, and it needs to happen very, very soon. And it's going to, because of what is coming after it very quickly with the, obviously with the transfer portal and with the early signing period.
It feels a situation that us that follow the team closely, the fans who follow it closely, pretty much anybody who is watching the fourth quarter of that game on Saturday, you follow the team closely enough to care, because that was a pretty brutal football game and the team is not competitive in the West. But I feel like us and those that follow the team closely, I'm probably going to point back to that fourth quarter if Leonard has a lot of success. And I could be totally wrong here, but like, some just deep inside feeling is telling me that, you know, had they lost, had they lost again, like, do you think it's really about having to sell Leonard to the fan base?
No.
Because everybody on Twitter goes crazy, and it was 7-3 or 7-0 at halftime, 14-3. In the third quarter, and everyone's ripping Leonard, like, oh, this team can't go beat Nebraska. I don't think that he needs to be sold, but do you think they think he needs to be sold to the fan base? Like, if they had lost, they wouldn't be able to get people behind this guy's the head coach?
Well, based on the names, other names that they have been linked to, would those names excite the fan base? And so here's the names that have been linked, right? Matt Rhule, allegedly. Lance Leipold, and then the big one was Dave Aranda, where it was a potential, like, he was the second choice. He was going to be the guy that, if Jim Leonard didn't want it, or if that wasn't going to be the way it was going to go, it was Jim, like, Dave Aranda, very good chance that he was going to be their target, or was their target. Do any of those names jump out more than Jim Leonard to you?
Dave Aranda would be the one, but I still prefer Leonard.
Having covered Dave Aranda, I think he'd be amazing here. I think he would. But he's not the same type of energy guy that Jim Leonard is, that I think this program needs after what Paul Chryst brought energy-wise. In terms of, like, engaging with the public. Like, Dave Aranda, some of his quotes, you get a great quote from him all the time. It's not the one you would want to put on air, because it was very, It wasn't like it was like very energy filled, but in a story, it was awesome. So like he can do, he can have that type of impact, but it's not necessarily like out in the public energizing the people. That's never who he was going to be. It's not who he is as a person. Jim Leonard, a little bit different in that respect.
Yeah.
So what I'm trying to say is, I don't know. I don't think you necessarily needed him to beat Nebraska to energize people. People aren't gonna, are people energized by 15-14? I don't think they are. Like, is it better that you win? Yeah. But this week's more important.
By far. Bowl eligibility is
so
legit.
It's so stupid though, right? Like 80 plus teams have bowl eligibility every year.
Wisconsin is one of the longest streaks.
Yeah, I think it's important that you're bowl eligible, but I think it's kind of over. Great, you're consistently solid. You're consistently average.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's Wisconsin football.
But that's not what Wisconsin football wants to be.
No.
Like, you don't want to be talking about bowl eligibility November 19th, which is what they were doing. That was the latest they've gone in a season without bowl eligibility since 2008.
Yeah. Or a ferocious comeback to retain the Freedom Trophy from 3-7 Nebraska.
Right.
But I agree with you 100%. I guess none of the questions I'm posing, I expect to hear an answer about, unless somehow Chris McIntosh just spills everything, which I don't expect him to do. But I am going to look back at this game and be thrilled it went that way in the fourth quarter because of what you said. If Jim Leonard had been somehow passed over for the job because of pure offensive ineptitude for the last 3 weeks of the season, I think I would have looked back at that moment and been very bitter that it happened that way. And luckily, that's not the situation we're in. By hopefully Sunday, Monday, I don't know, after a Minnesota win, he's named head coach and we move forward. Real quick, before we get into the Nebraska game itself and some thoughts on the playoff rankings, if we must, what's next for Jim Leonard? Let's say he is hired or named officially on Monday, and then they go into bowl season at 7-5 after a win against Minnesota, real momentum to build off of. What's next aside from the one that I wrote down and circled four times is offensive coordinator, offensive staff, something new and fun and something that works.
I think he made it clear this week exactly what's next for Wisconsin. And maybe I read into it a little bit too much. I don't know if we've talked about it on the show. We've talked about it on the camp, wondering what Jim Leonard's type of offense would be, like how you would get that out of him. And I'm like, you have to ask him like what kind of defense or what kind of offense stresses his defense? Like And so I'm thinking about that. And just as I'm thinking about it, Jim Polzin asked the question. He asked him like when you're thinking about your offense or like a defense, what stresses your defense as an offense? And he talked about it, you know, it's all about personnel, whatever, blah, blah, blah. And then he said
execution.
Well, that, but more so it was the great equalizer in college football is the quarterback that can make plays when there's nothing there. The quarterback that can get out of trouble when you play perfect defense and he can still make a play. And if you play anything that has anything to do with Adrian Martinez right now.
No, I have the audio of his answer.
Okay. I was about to say, you look like you're about to pull something Martinez up related. But yeah, here's what he said about it.
Not all X's and O's are created equal. And a little bit of the equalizer, the great equalizer right now in college football is a quarterback that can run. And a quarterback that can turn a bad play into a good play. That's always given us issues, as most teams. You look around the country, you know, anytime you can play perfect football and still lose, it's pretty frustrating.
So pretty much what he's saying there, Zach,
is he wants Adrian Martinez.
Adrian Martinez.
Yeah. So I that to me is kind of where things I tweeted, keep that in your mind when you're thinking about the future.
Yeah.
Because I do think that is going to be a part of this, and offensive staff, there's going to be significant changes. He didn't say as much, but he said as much when he said there's, you know, things need to change and there are certain things that are going to need to change and we're going to have different things going on. And I don't think that's all like coaching wise and offensive wise. I think that has a lot to do with other things within the program, but offense is the biggest part of it. That's what needs to get figured out. The defense has not been an issue for quite some time. almost a decade now, the defense has not been the issue. So if they can figure that out offensively and pair it with what they've been able to do defensively, you've got something cooking.
Yep. So, and I trust that he has a, like, whenever he did decide that he does want it, whenever that date was, years ago, 2 weeks ago, I don't know, he has a plan. I also will point out to everybody that there isn't one thing in his professional life that he has come close to failing at. Like, he has excelled at everything as someone who had been doubted, you know, throughout the process. I also, like consider everyone who's still stuck on it being a Wisconsin guy. And everyone's like, oh, you got to go outside the building. You got to get someone to, you know, new life and bring Wisconsin over the top. First of all, Leonard kind of does represent new life to me, especially energy-wise. But also, I genuinely think if you put his resume blindly in front of somebody and said, hey, this guy is going to be Wisconsin's next head coach, one of the most decorated up-and-coming coordinators that has had success everywhere, I think people would take that. It's just, oh, he's a Wisconsin guy, so we're just, you know, stuck in the same rut that Wisconsin's always been stuck in.
I think you can make the argument that if, like, he put his resume up against Dave Aranda's, Dave Aranda would win out. If it was blind.
Just because of head coaching experience, yeah. Yeah. I agree.
And success and as a head coach. I mean, he had one bad year, went and won the Pac-12 Big 12 last year, and then hasn't, you know, a little bit of a tougher year this year. But you put his resume against Jim Leonard's, yes, but you can't. And Dave Aranda knows what Wisconsin's about, too. So it's not like he kind of has that in him as well. I just don't think he's going to be the energy guy that would come in and lift this program. The same thing with Matt Rhule. Like, Matt Rhule has some Big Ten knowledge, right? And he's did it at Baylor and he did it at Temple. And on a resume, he could probably do it. But he doesn't have the Wisconsin ties.
Matt Rhule doesn't do it for me.
Again, he's had success at both of the college stops, or I mean, as at his major college stops, turning programs around. Wisconsin doesn't need to be turned around. It needs to be retooled, and some things need to change. I asked this the other day. Jim Leonard, who will he be more successful as a coach in his tenure than Paul Chryst?
Record-wise?
And what does that look like?
Because I want to touch on that when we come back. Right. It's a great question, and I think it can be interpreted a bunch of different ways. I want to touch on that, Zach. I want to touch on what we saw on the field against Nebraska. Thoughts, takeaways, things of that nature. And contractually obligated, the college football playoff rankings are out, and I will note them and then move on. That is Zach Heilprin. Again, no show coming up on Thursday as we normally do at Monk's and Sun Prairie. It's Thanksgiving. Enjoy Thanksgiving. Go to Monk's this weekend, though. Watch the Badgers there. Watch the Packers there. At Sun Prairie, locations across the state as well. Zach and I will have a Minnesota preview podcast either tomorrow, whenever. Just check the feed. It'll be up there. When we come back, we'll tackle that question Zach was talking about and a lot more. It's Kenny and Heilprin.
This is Kenny and Heilprin on the Wisconsin Sports Zone Network.
All right, we are back. It is Kenny and Heilprin. Wisconsin 15, Nebraska 14, just like we all pictured. Zach, I tweeted before the game, I thought Graham Mertz would play very well. And I will put my hand up and say, bad thought. However, I was not directly aware of the wind, but still, bad thought.
That's 2 weeks in a row that you have not been aware of the weather. That is a little concerning.
It was early. I was a little hungover. I was wrapping my brain around the game still.
Honestly, that's the first thing I look at every Sunday.
My timeline?
Oh, no. No. No, 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 no. No, 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 no. I have you on notifications, of course. I don't need to look at your timeline. No, the weather for the next week's game. And so, especially starting with the Maryland game, with how bad that was going to be. And then, obviously, it was bad at Iowa, and it was bad last week in Nebraska. This week, though, looking good.
Soft.
Looking good. No, this is actually significant for Wisconsin. If they're going to win this game,
they can throw.
Yes. Yeah. They're going to have to throw the ball. And currently, It's calling for 50 degrees and light winds, which would be significant for Graham Mertz and that passing game, because they're going to have to pass. They're not going to be able to run the ball down Minnesota's throat. I know we're going to get to this. We got a ton of this to get to when we do our preview episode tomorrow, but I think it's just at least noteworthy after what we've seen these last 3 weeks trying to throw the ball and the conditions they are. I think we're going to see a better performance, assuming they can keep him upright.
Yeah, I want to get to that performance against Nebraska in the wind and, you know, the offense as a whole and where the struggles are and all that stuff. But you mentioned going into break, Paul Christ, Jim Leonard, who will he have a more successful head coaching tenure than Paul Christ? I don't want to answer this question with wins and losses being like the answer, because the circumstances will be very different. As soon as there's no Big Ten West and there are no divisions in the Big Ten, and USC and UCLA join, probably one more loss per year. Just like when we look at the schedule or when the Vegas win total comes out, like when you add up all of the slightly tougher games they'll play, I think it'll add up to overall one loss per season, maybe more sometimes, because sometimes they'll be faced with a gauntlet. So the wins and losses is hard. Will he have more success? Will we look back? I don't think we will. And say it's more successful than Paul Christ.
So why make the change?
Well, because that was trending in a very down direction. I guess it's more of a thought of the state of the sport. And I think it's getting a little harder at Wisconsin to do what Paul Christ did in 16, 17, and 19, getting to the Big Ten title game. I think it's going to get harder for Wisconsin to do that. So I guess he could have as good teams as Paul Christ had throughout his tenure, but I don't think they will, with those same teams, say, accomplish the exact same level.
Yeah, I'm a firm believer that the Big Ten is not done expanding. And I don't know. Do you agree with that?
I do.
So you're going to have a 20-team or an 18-team league or a 20-team league and not have divisions? You're just going to have them play, like, not half the conference and crown a champion?
That's a good point. I wonder how far in the future that'll be, because when we talk about like USC and UCLA,
make it 16.
That was two years off of the announcement. So let's say that's announced in 2 years or a year and a half. That's another 2-3 years down the road. At that point, once we get to the end of that, Jim Leonard's already, 6-7 years into his tenure?
Right.
So then we might be talking about the end of that, because I don't expect him to do a 20-year Nick Saban.
Why not? He's 40 years old.
I don't know. Nick Saban's Nick Saban. I just the nature of the sport.
Why not a Kirk Ferentz?
He could.
No, I'm kidding.
I don't expect
it doesn't matter.
That.
It doesn't matter. Success, the only thing he could do that could top Paul Christ is win the Big Ten, make the playoff. And making the playoff, technically, will be easier. Paul Christ would have made it a couple times, maybe three times in his tenure, had it been in place, the 12-team playoff. But winning the Big Ten, probably going to be much more difficult. I shouldn't say much more difficult. I'm still just not of that mind. Like, yeah, you're not going to get to play Illinois, Purdue, like every single year, but you're also going to get to start to play in Rutgers and Indiana and Maryland and those type of teams. Like, they're going to be throwing those in there along with the Michigans, Penn States, Michigan States and all that, and UCLA and USC. Like, it's not like you're all of a sudden going to be playing every single tough team. That's not going to happen. I can promise you there is no way with Barry Alvarez still in that conference office that that's going to happen.
No, that's who they schedule Nebraska for. They get the tough
yes,
opponents.
Like that's just not, you're not going to be playing Michigan, Ohio State, Penn State, USC, UCLA, Michigan State, Iowa, and Minnesota every single year. Like that's just not going to happen. It's not. And so you're going to have these other teams or other games against teams that are not at your level that you're going to have to beat.
I agree, but also it's like a year like this year where there could have been a backdoor in, yet if you take away divisions, Ohio State and Michigan are undefeated.
But you're just not good. You're not good enough to be there.
No, I know, but I'm saying you're going to have to go loss through the conference schedule.
Here's the
pretty
thing,
much.
Though.
Like you're not going to be able to let up against Illinois, say, in 2019 because you have more teams you're battling with to get to that championship game. It's not just you know, a 7-4 Iowa team or whatever,
right? Like you're not that, yes, but I also don't think like a 5-4 6-4, or I should say a 5-4 team or a 6-3 team should be going to the playoff or a conference championship game anyways.
No, it's ridiculous that Iowa is going to play in it again, likely, right. If they beat Nebraska. Like,
yeah,
that Iowa team of the last 2 years has not deserved, like, teams like that, I agree, should not be playing for conference titles because they're so, so drastically flawed.
Yeah, so I look at the 2016 team that went 7-2, or the 2017 team that went 9-0, or the 2019 team that went 7-2, like, they earned their way in. They didn't back their way in. Like, last year kind of wouldn't have been backing your way in because you just weren't very good. You weren't a good team. You shouldn't have been playing there, but yet you went on a little bit of a streak there and were able to beat the teams that you needed to beat. But no, 7-, like, those other three teams that made it deserve to be there. The 4-4 Wisconsin team from 2012 that went and crushed Nebraska didn't deserve to be there. Obviously, a couple of other teams weren't allowed in. So, I don't know. I think Wisconsin's earned its way into the conference championship game every time they've been there except for one.
Well, I think the important point you make is the playoff one. And that's just you just asked the fan base, does making the playoff, like, is that enough to say Jim Leonard will have a better tenure than Crist? Because, like, if the playoff's at 12, like, look 7 years in the future, is making the playoff and losing in the first round as amazing as we think it will be? And it might, but that's something where when it's year to year and we're in that phase of college football, I think that's when we'll reevaluate how much that means.
Getting to host a playoff game at Camp Randall in December?
Well, that would mean that would be awesome. And yeah. That's something I'm just going to leave for years down the road. But this is also a conversation we can have as Leonard makes decisions, as things sure. get crafted around the program. The college football playoff rankings, I thought I put it in my bookmarks. I didn't. So for that reason, we're not going to talk about them.
I can help you out here.
Go find them on the internet.
No. Number one, Georgia. Number two, Ohio State. Number three, Michigan. Number four, TCU. Number five, two-loss LSU. And number six, USC.
Cool. Speaking of USC, we will have a worst takes of the year show after the year concludes. You're going to want to listen to that. But Zach,
I've been saving Ben's up.
Yeah, I have no doubt that's going to be a fun show. I want to touch on the game itself, the Wisconsin-Nebraska contest that happened. We discussed what it could mean with the job getting posted and with the state of the program going forward and Jim Leonard. But overall, it's a 15-14 win against a terrible Nebraska team in which you score 12 points in the fourth quarter to come back and really beat all odds after what we had seen from the offense throughout the game. What did you think generally about the contest, aside from maybe the kind of tough to watch for three quarters?
I thought the defense played awesome. I thought, you know, getting Casey Thompson back was going to be a huge lift for them. You look at their splits. I mean, they were a horrible offense in the two games that he missed. And obviously after he left the Illinois game, they were really, really bad. With him, they were averaging well over 400 yards of offense. They didn't get 200. So I thought the defense was fantastic. And yes, the wind certainly helped Wisconsin in that respect as well. The only time they gave up a touchdown, or I should say the one touchdown they gave up was off the turnover. Not the one touchdown, but the first touchdown that Nebraska got came off the turnover.
I've heard that before.
Yeah. Stop me if you've heard that before. So I thought they were awesome. I thought, obviously, Keanu Benton has been fantastic and continues to be fantastic, and I think he may be the key player of Saturday's game against Minnesota coming up and trying to slow down Ibrahim. Offensively, how great was it to have Chez Belusi back?
Massive.
I think he just runs so hard. And he puts his head down and gets what he gets. He's not looking around, dancing around, looking for the biggest run of the day. He's going to get what he's going to get. And I kind of think that's what they needed on Saturday. Isaac Arendo gave you a great catch and, you know, some nice running as well. And Braylon Allen, despite not anywhere close to 100% and looking like every time he went down, like it was the most painful thing he's ever been through his entire life, gave you 90 some odd yards. So, offensively, they got it done. Graham Mertz was really bad in the first half. I think it's very, very surprising, though, that they were thinking about taking him out of the game. He's not healthy. He did not practice at times last week. There was obviously that rumor before the game that he was not going to play. Maybe that's probably what went into their thinking a little bit. But considering what we know, what they have behind him, it's a little bit surprising that they were going to think about going that way. As long as he doesn't turn the ball over, he's your guy. Unfortunately, he's turned the ball over a little bit too much these last two games. So, but for him to bounce back the way he did in the fourth quarter and hit some big throws, make some big plays, significant for him and for the offense.
I'm not going to come out here and say that he played well, because he didn't. And that's a couple of weeks in a row now of some struggles, definitely. Passing offense as a whole just has not been there when they've needed it down the stretch of this season. I will also note that a lot of drives were somewhat crushed by drops.
Oh, yeah.
Where he didn't really get any help there.
No.
I'm thinking about there was a Chimere Dike drop in the end zone.
Yeah,
there was an early one that could have extended a drive. So I was going back and rewatching the game and looking at the drive charts again. Like, early in the game, defense was dominating. Braylon Allen was running pretty well, and they were running a lot, obviously, showing you that, like, we're going to commit to the ground game with the win, don't want to throw the ball a lot. But then there were a couple sequences where they got the first down and passed, and then maybe there was a drop or something happened, and that totally destroyed the drive. So they had no passing offense, but I think the stats make it look a lot worse than it was. The one thing, like, the one terrible play was the interception. And that's, like, I'm not going to say you played well. He made big-time throws at the end. He brought them back in the game. They won.
You know what's funny, though? That throw that he threw the interception on?
He's made that throw, what, 20 times this season? 30?
A lot.
Yeah.
A lot. And it was open. But so was Chimere Dike at the first down marker. It was a third down into the wind. The thing is, he made that exact same throw in the third quarter and hit Keontez Lewis, who was able to hold on. It looked like he wanted to drop that one, but he held on. I believe that's the drive that they scored their first touchdown on, at least started in the third quarter. But if you take the drops out of it, I think he would have been 7 for 11 in the first half.
Yes.
In case he went, was he 4 of 11 or 4 and 10? May have been 4 of 10 in the first half, 7 for 10 with a touchdown and an interception. Looks a little bit better.
Yeah. And I guess those
would have been great catches by DK, by the way. The one in the end zone would have been a great catch. The one where he got held and he was trying to avoid the hit coming, those are ones you got to catch, you got to hold on to.
The first one is the one that stuck in my brain. I think it was 1st or 10, 2nd and 10, over the middle. I'll go back and find it. But also, not only just for his stats, but for the sense of the offense, because they scored 0 points in the first half. They had 3 points entering the fourth quarter. A bunch of those drives would have continued. Like, I think they would have punched it in there early during the during one of the drives where Mertz was sacked, and it looked like a terrible drive afterwards, but they were moving the ball. Like, Wisconsin moved the ball most of the game, as has been the case for much of the year, though. The drives were crushed by a sack or a drop or, you know, something that just will kill any momentum you have. But I guess in terms of the offense's flow and how we view Mertz's play, like, I don't add interceptions or whatever or touchdowns, just in terms of the offense having more success. If he had gotten a little more help, I think we view the performance differently generally. And I think Wisconsin wins comfortably because the defense was great.
Do you think Isaac Rendo needed a jump?
No, I don't. However, I will not fault him, because I've seen Tom Brady go out and try to just put his hands out there and not catch it. Like, I don't think he needed to, but I'm not going to doubt him.
It worked out
securing it.
I mean, it worked out because they were able to score and they ran some more time off the clock. Obviously, I think there would have been about 2 minutes left if he had, and then that final drive becomes a little bit more different, Yeah, whatever. Probably didn't need to.
But
Graham thought he sailed it on him.
But Malusi and Garenda in there, 100%, massive. Braylon Allen does not look healthy.
He's not.
And Ches Malusi looks bigger than he's looked, I think. Maybe it was the camera angle. But him and Garendo ran well. I just thought, like, go to the second half of this game. Why did Wisconsin win? The offensive line totally took over, and Isaac Garendo and Ches Malusi ran the ball well. And that was it.
And we'll give Braylon credit for the long run that he had where he stood behind the line for, like, 5 seconds. And everyone's like, where is he? And then he pops out to the side and looks like he's carrying a 50-pound boulder on his back as he runs it down the field.
Two more, and I guess my general thought coming away, though, tell me, like, the battle back, 12 points in the fourth quarter, that kind of felt like the perfect encapsulation of Leonard's time as interim, where so much has gone on off the field, so much has been happening, but it feels like there's always been that fight. And they haven't won every game. They lost to Iowa. They lost to Michigan State. But it feels like under Leonard as interim so far, the fight has always been there. I feel like that was fitting.
Yeah, because the last time we saw this team with a different head coach, they were quitting in the second half against Illinois. Draw a line in the sand and just keep on letting the other team cross it and then cross it and cross it and cross it. So, yes. Fight is the one thing that you can give, no matter what. And I think it speaks to him being able to get that out of him. And do it, you know, for the last quarter and a half without your second best defensive player, your biggest playmaker. So, yeah, and two more points before we go to break.
Yeah.
Ches Malusi back for another year. Significant.
Huge.
Yeah, significant news. Alexander Smith back for another year. Huge. Vince Beagle. Nick Herbig not going to be there for the first half against Minnesota.
Right. I want to talk about the Herbig thing. I want to talk about the Alex Smith thing because I underrated his impact on the field. And I think as we go into next season, all those that follow the team should be very excited that he's back, given the difference as soon as he got on the field. I want to touch on that coming up next before we close out the show. So some news and notes. Status report, there is one person ruled out for Minnesota, unfortunately. I'll tell you who that is, as well as much more. He is Zach Heilprin. I'm Ben Kenny. I will also tell, we saw someone do something on the field, Zach, on Saturday we have not seen yet this season.
Ooh.
And I think that'll make you happy.
Oh, I know what it is.
I'll tell you what it is when we come back. Kenny and Heilprin.
This is Kenny and Heilprin on the Wisconsin Sports Zone Network.
All right, welcome back in, Kenny and Heilprin. So, on Saturday, if you have listened to the show in the past, you know that before the season, we picked certain players to break out, and much was made about what starting week one meant. Doesn't mean they're a starter, doesn't mean they're not. That's neither here nor there. For the first time this season, Zach, Darryl Peterson, one of your guys, recorded a sack. Congratulations.
I'm almost positive I did not have him as a... I said as a guy that might start at some point in the year.
We don't need to hash it out.
Wasn't this going back to the Riley Malman thing?
Yeah, but like he is one of your guys. Away whether you had him or not.
He is definitely one of my guys. He finally got in there and is going to have obviously a huge opportunity this week with Nick Herbig out. But yes, got in there, got his TJ Watt sack dance going. It was fantastic.
It was in a big spot too. Importantly, the Nick Herbig thing. Targeting was reviewed. Do I love the call? No. Do I understand it? Yeah, that's kind of where we're at.
Soft. It was soft. It was innocent. It was not like violent in any way. He said he thought it looked more athletic. He thought in trying to avoid it, but he's like, no, I didn't. But then, yeah, you review it. You try and get them to review it. It was letter of law. It was the right call. And yeah, it sucks. It takes him out for, you know, the first half of this game. And now you can only hope that this turns into a Jack Sitchy situation where he gets knocked out of the Minnesota game and comes back in the bowl game and has three sacks of Sam Darnold.
Yeah, it's a true, like, the rule of targeting is not really, it's not always used for what it was intended for. Like, what it's intended for is taking dirty hits and those kind of plays out. But when a player is actually trying to not then have a dirty hit, that's whatever.
Well, I just hate the idea that you get targeting with 3 seconds left in the first half and be able to play next week.
Yeah.
And get targeting 3 seconds in the second half and miss the first half of the next game.
100%.
I don't like that at all.
I agree. And then the other big pieces of news before we do a full Minnesota preview coming up tomorrow. Ches Malusi coming back. Love it. I was sad that we couldn't see more of him this year because the backfield is better. as I said entering the season and during the offseason, the backfield of Braylon Allen and whoever is better when Chez Mulusi is there.
Well, I think it's true.
It makes Braylon Allen better. It makes Garendo better when he's in there. They are more dynamic with him. So excited for him.
How significant is it? I mean, last year Braylon Allen was going to this Minnesota game banged up and by himself. And this year he's banged up, but he's not by himself.
Massive.
You got Chez Mulusi and Isaac Rendo.
Massive. And then, obviously, Alexander Smith, who, since he has returned, the defense has been phenomenal.
I'm not going to give him credit for all the defensive success, but he's given them some continuity and solid play on the outside. No offense has got over 200 yards these last 3 weeks.
Big time. And they will try to continue it coming up against Minnesota on Saturday. When we return, we will wrap things up, preview our show coming up later on in the week. It is Kenny and Heilprin.
This is Kenny and Heilprin on the Wisconsin Sports Zone Network.
All right, welcome back. It is Kenny and Heilprin. Coming up tomorrow again, check the podcast feeds. We will have a full preview of the Minnesota contest as well as much more. Podcast of this show, it's going to be posted in about 15 minutes. Thanks for hanging around. See ya.
Kenny and Heilprin, Thursdays from 6 to 7 and on demand at madcitysportszone.com.